On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, we need a miracle today. Our lives have run dry. And so as Jesus changed water into wine, by your word and your spirit, change our hearts so that the light of your love may shine through us. Amen. Sometimes when I'm preparing to preach on a passage, I'll go back and look to see what I've written in the past. I'll look at sermons from other preachers to see what they've done, what their angle was, and the theme of the sermon, just to get the juices flowing. So, for instance, with this scripture we just heard from John 2, I found an old sermon I preached focusing on the water jars. These were not just buckets lying around. John makes a point of telling us that these were stone water jars used for the Jewish rite of purification. That's the ritual that decides who's in or out, who's clean or unclean. The thing is, the rabbis say you only need one cup of water to purify 100 people. So let's assume this is a huge wedding, maybe 500 people. They would still only need 5 cups of water. Jesus had well over 120 gallons. As is always the case in God's kingdom, there is more than enough for everyone. Or maybe that John says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. On the third day, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We know something else that happens on the third day. Resurrection happens on the third day. So no coincidence that John uses those words. He's setting the stage. It's the third day. Something is about to happen. Or you could just remind people that this is a wedding, a joyous occasion. Jesus keeps the wine and the magic flowing. He keeps people together. Fred Craddock says that wedding talk in the Bible is always kingdom talk. A feast in God's kingdom is a wedding banquet to which all people are invited. That's all to say that there are lots of different ways to read this story, but it's all another alternative came to me. Now, I've told you before, one of the things I love most about the Bible is that every story, every word can be read from so many different angles. If anyone ever tells you that one particular passage means only one thing forever and ever, amen, I would tell you that there are invited to a wedding in Cana. Jesus' mother Mary is also in attendance. In the ancient world, a wedding wasn't a few hours on a Saturday afternoon. The wedding feast would likely last for a week, and the wine would flow freely. It was a huge community event, big celebration, with high expectations of hospitality. But word gets around that they've run out of wine, and Mary goes to Jesus to ask for help. "They have no wine," she says, and Jesus replies, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." I want to be very clear about one thing. I hope this goes without saying, but just so we're all on the same page. I don't care if you're a 13-year-old boy or a 30-year-old man. You never, ever speak to your mother and call her woman.
My hour has not yet come is less about God's time.
gut feeling, her intuition. Time to get things going. Time to tell the world who you are and why you are here. I know you, she says. You can do this. That brings me to those words from 1 Corinthians that Rachel read a moment ago. There are different gifts, but one Spirit. We don't have to do it all ourselves. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for a common good. When Jesus is scared, maybe it takes Mary to get the ball rolling. When any of us feels overwhelmed, others rush in to help. We are never alone. In 1963, leaders of the civil rights movement were planning a march in Birmingham on Good Friday. 2 days earlier, April 10th, the state of Alabama issued an injunction against the protesters. Participants would be arrested and sent to jail. After much debate, the leaders of the movement decided to disobey the order. They would march on Good Friday. And a great deal of discussion took place about whether Martin Luther King Jr. and Ralph Abernathy should participate. While King's presence would make a profound statement, his services as a fundraiser for the movement were desperately needed, and he couldn't do that from jail. King's biographer writes, he withdrew into the bedroom. When he came back a few moments later, he wore a work shirt, blue jeans, and a pair of brown clodhopper walking shoes. This first glimpse announced that he was ready to go to jail, which hushed him. I don't know what will happen, he said. I don't know where the money will come from, but I have to make a faith act. When Dr. King stepped out on the streets of Birmingham, he did not go alone. He stepped out with Ralph Abernathy, but also in the shadow of giants like John Lewis and Rosa Parks and Bayard Rustin and Claudette Colvin and Andrew Young. He was companion every step of the way. What Dr. King did is exactly what Mary did and what we are called to do, to offer whatever we have. Something as simple as words of encouragement, or as difficult as stepping out of our comfort zones, to land ourselves in jail, or even worse. So thanks be to God for the gift of the Spirit and the gift of community. We don't have to do this alone. Dr. King couldn't. Even Jesus needed some encouragement.